Bibles and turn in them tonight to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 16. And we'll be continuing to look at verse 8 tonight. Shall we pray before we begin? Our dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to once again for this blessed privilege that is ours to assemble in Thy presence. Certainly, because of your love and grace, mercy, the manifestation of your love to me, the name of Jesus is sweet. He is precious to me. We're thankful tonight to be here, to have been able to sing this song. Now to look into thy word, and even as we are looking in the book of Ezekiel and looking at the nation of Israel as the people of God and the time that was the time of love and what you did for her, it mirrors our salvation experience, what we were, and then was the time of love, the time of the manifestation of your love to me. You continue to teach me about that love that you have showered me with. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for all these that are here. We just pray, Father, that you bless our time of study together tonight. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Book of Ezekiel in chapter 16. And we'll read verse 8. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou became mine. Last week we were continuing, finishing up the thought that he looked upon her with love and with kindness, with compassion. And we had previously looked at the thought that it was the kindness and love of God our Savior that sent Christ to redeem us. It was the love and kindness of God our Savior that sent the Spirit to bring us from condemnation, to quicken us, to make us alive unto God. And last week, the thought it was the love and kindness of God our Savior that sends the Spirit to sanctify us, to make us holy, and that is an ongoing process throughout the rest of our life the days of our life, that will be an ongoing process and work of the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to make us holy. And then one day, we shall be holy. For we shall be like him when we see him face to face. That was a time of love indeed. Certainly it was. And we looked at last week the book of the Song of Solomon in the 8th chapter and verse 10 there, which was expressions of his love, God's love for his bride, expression of Christ's love for his bride. But one other thought before we move on to the next phrase or the second half of this verse. He said, "Behold, thy time was the time of love." Now it was time. Now was the time. Which indicates to us the fact that she was chosen. She was loved and chosen before the foundation of the world. The nation of Israel was loved. She was chosen before the foundation of the world. But now, in her, shall we say, mean birth, now was the time for the manifestation of that love. There was a chosen people for the Lord. And there was a time set by God before the foundation of the world in which he would manifest that love to her. We can it so clearly in the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis in chapter 15, if you're with me there this evening. Genesis chapter 15. Look with me in verse 13. God here, of course, is speaking to Abram. Up a few verses from this, Abram had believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And then we come down to verse 13, and he says this to Abram. And he said unto Abram, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." God tells Abram that they are going, his seed is going to go into Egypt, and that she is going to be there for 400 years. He's telling Abram of what is we're reading and studying about in the book of Ezekiel, where God is rehearsing with Jerusalem, Israel, what he did for her, and how that time came. The time came for the manifestation of his love after that she had been there in Egypt 400 years. And then he was going to bring her out And it was that day when God appeared to Moses in the Midian desert, in the burning fiery bush, the burning bush. And basically, in essence, said, Moses, go bring my people out. And we're going to look at some of the implications and ramifications of it. But the point I want you to see, that just as there was a time appointed for Israel and the manifestation of God's love to Israel, so everyone that is loved of God before the foundation of the world, chosen in Him unto salvation. There is a time set before the foundation of the world, a time set for the manifestation of God's love to them. Just as mine was that day in April of 1974, when God gloriously and wonderfully manifested to me His love for me. Now, looking at the last part of our verse, back to Ezekiel in chapter 16, in verse 8. He said, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. He took her. He took her because he loved her. He took her under his protection. The Lord espoused the people of Israel to himself in the wilderness after he brought them out of Egypt and took them under the wings of his protection. Actually, he spread his skirt over her and brought her out in the bringing her out of the land of Egypt. It was the time of his espousal. And then we'll go on to see the time of his betrothing her. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we want to look at verse 37. Verse 37, we read this. And because he, God, loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed. He chose him a bride. He chose him a bride of their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. He chose their seed, the seed of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Their seed. He chose their seed when they were beginning to grow into maturity. He looked upon them, and it was the time of love. It was time to manifest his love to them. Turn with me to the 10th chapter the 10th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And look with me here at verse 15. And we read this, nearly similar to what we read in the 4th chapter. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them. Why? Because he loved their fathers. He chose their seed after them, even you, Israel, above all people as it is this day. He chose unto himself a bride. He chose to himself one to be his special bride, his love. He loved her. Turn with me back to the 7th chapter now. The 7th chapter. And look at verse 6. Where he is saying this unto the children of Israel. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Sounds to me like they're the people of the Lord. Sounds to me like they're his. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He chose them to be his bride, to be his wife. It was a manifestation of his love to her. Before this, he had only made it known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He loved them, and he would choose their seed. Not them, but their seed to be his bride, he said. Now, getting back to Ezekiel chapter 16. This spreading of the skirt. We have encountered that before. The 8th chapter, the 8th verse here of Ezekiel 16 talks about it. But we had some time ago back in the book of Ruth, in chapter 3 and verse 9, where Ruth said unto Boaz for him to spread over her, his cloak over her, his skirt over her. This skirt, this cloak of sort is said to be the word actually used in the Hebrew is a bed covering. And it's not like a blanket, it's not like a quilt, but it's like a covering that goes over the whole bed. And the symbol there was the spreading of that over them was a marriage proposal. Like we see now, you know, guy goes out and buys this ring that his prospective bride is just going to hate, and she's going to think it's the most gaudy thing, but on TV they pour it up in oil, she's just in love with it, and then after the show's over, she tells him how much she hates that ring. Let's go to the store and get one we want, really want, you know. But he gets that ring and he gets down on it and proposes to her. Well, they threw the skirt over him, the cloak over him, that bed covering over them, signifying that they were theirs, and they begin the espousal period. And everything symbolized with that was she's his, she's spoken for, and she's under his care, under his protection, so to speak. We saw that in Ruth chapter 3 and in verse 9 as well. God took her, Jerusalem, Israel, to be his wife. He said, yea, I swear unto thee, in our verse in Ezekiel 16:8, he said, yea, I swear unto thee. He spread his skirt over her, and he swear unto her, and entered into covenant with thee. Well, when did God swear unto her? When did God enter into covenant with her? Turn with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. In chapter 19. And look with me here at verse 3. And Moses went up unto God. They're at Mount Sinai. They've come, they've journeyed out of Egypt to the Red Sea. God miraculously delivered them across the Red Sea. And now they've journeyed to Mount Sinai. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. In this place the Lord had swear unto them, if ye will keep my covenant, I will. And Moses delivers the message to the people, and the people say, all these words we will do. And so Moses returns their reply unto God. Turn with me now to the 24th chapter. After some commandments are laid down, in chapter 24 and verse 1, we see the marriage festivities. We see them entering into marriage and the covenant being sealed. And verse 1, "And he said unto Moses," that is God, "Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices, peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient. In other words, they said, I do. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. What a marriage festival, huh? That was quite the marriage feast, wasn't it? Wasn't that beautiful? All the words of the Lord Moses took and wrote in the covenant, and they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, worshiping him. And they said, all the people said, all the words of the Lord we will do. They said, I do. And she became his from that day forward. He took her. He took her into his care. Back there in Exodus chapter 19, as he said, as an eagle bears her young ones up in her wings. That's what God did in taking Israel. He honored the spreading of his skirt over her. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32. And look with me here at verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. See, Moses confirming in this 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy of what took place there at the Mount of Sinai when they entered into that covenant with the Lord God. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, in chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That protection that the Lord promised. You keep my covenant, and I'll protect you. I'll keep you safe. I'll keep you safe from harm. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms in chapter 121. In verse 3, we read, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He'll not allow it to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. That's how sure his protection is. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He's not going to accidentally fall asleep. I just can't stay awake anymore. No, he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Praise God. And not only does Israel have that guaranteed to her, as long as she keeps his covenant, we have that guaranteed to us. The Lord is our keeper. God keeps us. In fact, turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Talks about, well, let's go up to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us, the saved, redeemed of the Lord, again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There is no possibility of us losing our salvation. There's no possibility of us being out of his hand. As Jesus said, I and my Father are one. My Father, no man is able to pluck them, the sheep, out of the Father's hand. He said, I and my Father are one. We can't be plucked out of his hand, the hand of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our God. When God owned them, Israel, for his people, and called Moses at the burning bush and sent him into Egypt to deliver them. He spread his skirt at that time. Was the spreading of his skirt over them. And he entered into covenant with them. at Mount Sinai. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 54. In verse 5, for thy maker, speaking to Israel, for thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Yes, the God of the whole earth, the Holy One of Israel, their Redeemer, is their husband. Jeremiah chapter 3, the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 3, and in verse 14. We read this, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Yes, he says, I'm married to you. Now, we see in the book of Ezekiel the process of him going to be setting her aside, but only for a time. Only for a time. She's his. She's his wife. And he's going to bring her back unto himself. Turn with me to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea in chapter 2. Look with me here at verses 19 and 20. Hosea chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. And this language here, this section of this Hosea in chapter 2, this section here is yet future. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness. And in mercies, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. Coming a day, he's going to bring her back to himself. She's his wife. He's betrothed to her. And she's going to be faithful to him and love him forever. More. Well, we need to quit there tonight.